Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff.
That's Red Bluff, California. And this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Psalms chapter 4. Answer me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that Yahweh has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
Tremble, do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed. And be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, Yahweh. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. We're in Luke chapter 17, 20 through 37.
And asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God cometh, he answers them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is among you, or within you. And he said to his disciples, days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see. And they shall say to you, lo there, and lo here, go not away, nor follow after them. For just as the lightning, when it lightens out of one part under heaven, shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be. But first must suffer many things, and be rejected by this generation. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, thus shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, drank, married, and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, and bought, sold, planted, and builded, But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, fire rained and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all. After the same manner it shall be on the day of the Son of Man is being revealed. On that day, who shall be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not go down to take them away. Let them in the field likewise not return back. Remember the wife of Lot. Whoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall save it alive. I say unto you, on that night two shall be on one bed, one shall be taken along, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken along, and the other shall be left. And they in answer say to him, Where, Lord? But he said to them, Where the body is, there will be the eagles also gathered together.
The main scripture to this is Matthew 24. And it only says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be in Matthew 24. But here it says, also it includes the days of Lot that was destroyed. The whole place was destroyed by fire. And actually, Lot and his wife and two daughters escaped. But his wife didn't fully escape because she looked back. The lesson there is we're not to look back. There's other places where Jesus has said that. Nobody starting a race and then looking back is worthy. She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt.
Now, in that first one, it just said, don't look back. Mm-hmm. This one is what happens when a person looks back. So
right.
If you marry them together, don't look back. This is what can happen.
Right.
Interesting, those two verses will say at the beginning something, and then this one says the strong point.
Yeah, Matthew 24 really goes into some detail about those last days. First thing that it says in Matthew, take heed that no one lead you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. There's already people that Jim Jones said he was the Christ. He even took his Bible and threw it down in front of everybody and says, we don't need this anymore. And what happened after that? If people could have looked ahead that were in that room, if they had all gotten up and fled when he threw that Bible down, because he killed them all. Well, all the ones that remained, the ones that did not flee from there. And there were not a lot that escaped his final death thing. Boy, if that's not a lesson. If you ever saw the arrogance in that person, and they will say, look what they say. They will come in my name saying, I am. It's the first two things that are said. Ego, I am me. What's ego? I'm a big ego.
Yeah.
Ego, I am me. I am it. And I am the Christ. And deceive many. You're a healer of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be troubled. But it must come to pass, and the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in different places. These are just the beginning of travails. And then they shall deliver you up into tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of most shall wax cold. But the one who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, it says that a bunch of times, the ones that endure to the end. How many times we talk about when the person builds a tower and he doesn't sit down and count the costs and found that he doesn't have the money to complete it, and many mock him. This is the one thing you do not want to start and not complete. And it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, the big stinker, the abomination of desolation means something that smells so bad it's going to make you throw up. Abomination makes you throw up. Desolation is a huge smell, bad smell. Something's going to stink compared to the Bible. It's just not going to smell right. We've been giving five senses, our eyes, ears, nose, and smell. It's just going to smell rotten. Some people have a good nose. I knew a person that had a really good nose. And she'd walk into a room and she'd go, something's rotten here. She would just say it in a little voice. It was funny. And it turned out there was some rottenness there. God gives us those five senses for having our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Also this, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. I don't even agree with Pannon's on this. There's nothing to do with a bird. That is not a bird in the Greek. It is the Greek word alpha omega. It's eternal. It's translated as songs and music. First off, the one category. One is air flyer. In one place, they translated air flyer as a vulture. Another place, they translated it as an eagle. And it's an air flyer. It could be a cherub. It could be a seraphim. Angels don't fly. They do something. They don't have wings. I'm not saying they can't fly because they are able to go up and down that stairway that Jacob saw. But what this says in its purity of the Greek, where the soma is, where the body, the soma, there will the air flyers be gathered together. And one taken away or along, and the other one left. The meek will inherit the earth, who is taken away. The scriptures all point to the fact that the evil are going to be taken off the earth, not God's kids. There's many scriptures. I don't want to take the time and go through this now, but I could spend several evenings going through all the scriptures that the wicked are taken from off the earth and the righteous are left. It never says. The word rapture is not in the scriptures. It's not in the Bible. Go get a Strong's Concordance and show me if you can see the word rapture. And it's just not in the Bible. That's a man-made, it's only a 120-year-old doctrine. It's going to be like the days of Noah, and it's going to be like the days of Lot for wickedness. This one is not found in Matthew. It's left alone to the more mature that get to this place where he can talk a bit about Lot, where they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. And some of this is buying and selling could be buying slaves too. That's becoming big again. There is an agreement in California given by the governor that some corporations that were big donors to him were given license. They didn't have to pay the full wage of $20 an hour. And this owner owns a lot of a particular restaurant. I won't mention its name. I'm just not going to eat there anymore because they don't have to pay that wage. He gave a freebie. So they're not dealing with the same, you know, they're buying and selling and they're buying and selling favors. You know, getting away from that, not getting to the present time, but Jesus didn't say anything about the United States or whatever. He said, lend unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Don't you think Caesar is still here because that the two legs end up in 2 feet, iron and clay, and that's going to be the kingdom where Jesus is. So here we are, boo-hoo, we're losing America. It's already Caesar. I think it's already here. I think Caesar has taken over America, and maybe in the last 10, 20 years. I don't think it's here anymore.
Talking about the influence?
Yeah.
How it's had that influence.
I believe that government is here on the earth. And I don't think there's any escaping it. So I don't want to get all political. It's just going to be something here. And Jesus says, lend unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So even though you see this injustice or whatever, I'm not going to get all wound up about it. I can see it happening where there's definitely injustice, but I think it's just we're in the days of Caesar and there was all kinds of weird things happening. And I think we're closer to that age because that is upon us. And we're going to see a change. How many of us think we have that old government that we had of the people and by the people and for the people?
Well, that's changing.
I think it's gone.
Yeah, it's interesting because there was that book, America, God's Country. It was a really interesting book because it showed how the United States was, I don't know how to say it. It came
you mean
about
the book America?
America, God's
Country. By Michael Medved, if people want to look at it.
Yeah, and it says America, God's Country.
I didn't read that, but Michael Medved's America says goes at it the same way of showing all these different things that happened.
And it was only by, it could only have come about by God doing those things and how things, the way that people even talked about God back then was really interesting. And so it's way different than how man talks about God nowadays. It was like they would honestly, it's like they were pouring their heart out in their letters to one another.
They had a reverence for God.
And it was similar to how when you read like King James, for example, how they would speak to each other then and in reference to God and in the Psalms, it would echo that. And we're far off from where that originally was.
What date would you think, from the time you've been a child, do you think, or how long do you think this has been going on?
Before I was born.
Okay, it's interesting.
And you know, as an adult, you kind of think back and you can go, oh, wow, things were bad even then.
It was different in the 50s.
Right.
It was different into the 60s. Until the middle 60s and the British Rebellion, what do they call it? The British Invasion. British Invasion. And the music changed. And there was a rhythmic, hypnotic nature to music today that was not there before in the 50s. It started a bit in the 60s, a rock and roll generation, but it wasn't as pervasive as summer and the drugs. It seems like it was around the mid-60s, 1966. And it said in Matthew, the same scripture, this mate in 24, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love has grown cold. I think I saw it in about the mid-60s, definitely saw it, that lawlessness increased. And look at our laws today. I think the police force is neutralized now today. It's neutralized by the courts, which have been neutralized.
Well, everything's starting to go backwards.
Yeah.
Even in speech, when I was growing up, when you'd say things like, that shirt is sick.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a small example, but really it was like, sick is like you're ill.
Yeah.
But now it's like, that is sick as in that's really cool. And in speech, sure, but
they call good evil and evil good.
Yeah.
It's exactly the opposite.
Yep. And now they're putting out laws that, that are saying that it has to be that way, you know? This evil is good, and this good is evil. You can't be that way anymore.
Right.
So I was a little different here. I was reading here about Noah, and you know in the time of Noah what happened. Your basic eight people lived, and everybody else was killed. And in that day, they were eating and drinking. And they were married, so they They had that for a value, and they were given in marriage, and they had that for a value, but every one of them were killed. You get to Lot, no more married or given in married, and if you read the story, you'll see where they ended up, but and buying and selling and planting and building, and he killed that whole specific place. He extinguished them, except these people. So as time goes on, I wonder what those words are now. It's going to be like that. It's going to be like Lot. He says in the days of Noah, but now he's saying it's going to be like Lot.
And the ones taken away, taken along, they're gone.
They're gone.
And Noah, only 1 year and he's back on the earth. And Lot never left the earth. Those people are gone.
Yes.
And in both of them,
both stories,
it's obvious who's taken away,
yes,
taken along.
What did you have? It's what was that, how that went about taken and left? What was that?
I say unto you that in that night two shall be on one bed, one taken along, and the other shall be left. They're going to be left.
Now, did you have something about that word left?
Uh-huh.
What did you have about that?
They're left. They're here. They're still here. They're left alone.
And they're not bothered at all.
Yeah.
And people think that that's, they don't realize.
They're left, standing. You know, it's like a house, you know, a flood comes and one house is destroyed and the other is left.
But the common thinking now with the rapture is the good people get pulled away somewhere, but actually, it's the good people stay.
Yep.
It's totally backwards.
The heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord's, and the earth he has given to the sons of men.
So right. The people, the good
the
stay,
the meek
and the
inherit
bad are
the
gone.
Earth.
Instead of the reverse of that, the bad are gone and the good, I mean, you see what I mean?
I've written pages about this.
It's backwards.
If you add all the evidence, it's a ridiculous argument in the way. And rapture is not even in the Bible. It's on preachers' lips. It's not in the Strong's Concordance. Harpazo is the root word. Harpazo is when you take a whale. You do not want to be harpooned. Another R word, rape, comes from the Greek word harpazo, which means to ravage or to harpoon. I don't think I want either of them. So, it's ridiculous.
So this one adds a lot to Matthew 24. That's good.
I'd rather not go into that one any more than that because it's just a ridiculous doctrine. And it's Johnny Come Lately, and it was done because a woman was on in one of those emotional, charismatic churches where they're led. They call it being, you know, it's like the one you see on TV where they do the spiritual things where they almost get drunk and in a frenzy, and she had this vision. This lady did, and it actually was a young lady. And the church grabbed a hold of it. And this is where the Pentecostal church got so spiritually minded, they thought, they quit using the scriptures to make sure, you know, God, we worship God in spirit and in truth, and they were just getting into the spirit of it. They forgot truth. Oops. And so this doctrine developed. And it's these Pentecostal churches that don't use the Bible to structure. They just rampantly, you know, pray in tongues and so on. And you'll see them fainting and falling down. God never knocks anybody over. It never says that. Oh, by the way, we saw that in one household where the man positions himself because she's getting ready to be slain in the spirit. Well, that's really...
He gets behind her because he knows what she's going to do. She's going to fall down.
She's getting ready. She's getting ready. So he runs behind her and he catches her. He doesn't let her just fall and let the spirit. Let's see if it's really the truth.
We were in their house and they did that happen.
Yeah. And we've seen enough of that.
We didn't say anything. We're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
You guys watched that?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You never told me that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, these are things that people really do to this day.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So that's that Pentecostal movement.
Right.
But they only do half of it. They worship God in spirit, but I would say it's a small s spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit because truth is not there.
Yeah. I've witnessed that too back in my days, church shopping before I came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. A lot of emotions.
Praise God that he didn't let me stay into something like that. He pulled me out and showed me a better way.
I saw it one time and I'm going, yep, I'm out of here.
That was the one time.
Yep. Bye. Where are we now?
18.
Okay. 1 through 8.
And he spake a parable to them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, in a certain city was a certain judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And a widow was in that city. And she would be coming unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a time. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the judge of unrighteousness saith, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and he long suffering over them? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he really find the faith on the earth?
So what's the lesson in this? It's really simple, two words.
Keep praying.
Pray always.
Yes.
Pray always.
I like that.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Why spend the time worrying? Pray.
Right.
Well, anytime you find yourself worrying, pray. Just start praying. It works.
You know what's interesting is a while back ago, Jeanette, her cousin was going through some things, and she reached out to Jeanette, and she said, can you pray for me? Because I know God hears you. And Jeanette would pray for her, and whatever she was dealing with, it would go. And she would have some peace.
Wherever two or more agree as touching anything on this earth, if you ask the Lord, it shall be done. Whatever two or more agree. So I agree with people calling a friend and having them pray with you. Not just do it yourself also. You could do that. But as you go along, let other people know what you're praying about. Let somebody else know. And then pray together over it. And you don't have to pray right together. You could be praying yourself and they're praying about it during the day. But anytime, if your mind gets troubled, start praying instead of burying it. And don't faint. So you have one or two. Either pray or you're going to faint. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.